When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
Yep.
Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York.
Yep.
The ESPN New York app.
Yep.
Or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.
Number one pick in the NHL draft, but the man they can't seem to stump. Do something dumb, that's an observation. CLT make him need to run.
That's
Lars Eller! Cut trash, EMT for short. Wonder if we best once you peep the score. Up at the crack of dawn, top stories of the morning. While you're yawning, grab your coffee, rise to shine with 98.7. This is drop time. We provide highlights from your favorite teams. Got Dave and Rick making plenty of picks. It's Rule 76.
Oh, yeah. Wednesday. April the, what's today, the third?
Today is the third.
Yeah, today is the third. And I brought my ARC into the studio today. I'm going to park it over in the corner. Got the cows, the horses. I mean, my God.
Beautiful weather. Love it.
What a day we have out there. My pants are all wet.
Well, you need an umbrella.
Well, I'm very...
I knew it was going to rain.
I knew it was going to rain. I'm very, very anti-umbrella. Very anti-umbrella.
Are you anti-umbrella or just too lazy to have an umbrella in the car?
No, I'm not too lazy to have an umbrella in the car. I have a windshield scraper when there's ice and stuff car.
That's so you can see, so you can drive.
Right. Yeah. So it's not that I'm too lazy.
No.
I don't think people understand how to carry an umbrella.
Know how to carry an umbrella?
Oh, I do. I can hold it up very high.
I don't know if you're supposed to hold it up very high.
Well, when there's foot traffic, you need to hold it up very high. I don't think people understand. Thus, I'm very anti-umbrella, and I don't want it. I put on my hood, and if my pants get wet, then they get wet,
But you have the ability since you know how to carry one,
right?
And it's 5 a.m.
right
when there's no one walking on the street.
You say that, I almost had a couple of eye poking umbrella incidents this morning.
There's plenty of sidewalk. Now you're going to have to sit through the show with wet pants.
That's right. And sneakers wet.
Well,
and I'd say my socks are wet, but you guys would be like, well, how are your socks possibly wet? Don't you wear sneakers? My socks are wet.
Well, why don't you have waterproof sneakers that you wear?
I don't know. Is that such a thing? Waterproof
sneakers? I'm wearing waterproof sneakers right now.
Do you buy them like separately? Nike, I'd like to buy a waterproof sneaker.
No, I said to myself, hey, I should probably have a pair of sneakers that if it rains out, I have.
So what does that mean? The water hits them and it runs?
It repels the water, yeah.
So the water just, it hits.
You saw Brouncher yesterday. I said the same thing to him. He had the Gore-Tex ones on.
Gore-Tex.
Because he knew it was going to rain.
Right.
Got to plan ahead. I need you comfortable.
I'm not comfortable.
My feet are wet.
My socks are wet. My pants are wet. My pants are all wet. From the waist up, excellent. Put on my hood. Didn't get head wet at all. But my pants are, yeah.
You know, God forbid.
What?
You show up head wet.
No.
Yeah, you can't even do the show.
No. No, I would do the show. I love the show. I'm happy to be here. I'm glad the Mets sat through a 3-hour rain delay.
Yeah, so is Gary Cohen. He's very, very happy about it.
I mean, what are you doing? Why would you do that? I don't care
because
if
they were
Mets
trying to get the game
in. I understand, but there was no break. And they said there was a 90-minute, they thought a 90-minute break. Yeah.
Seven to nine, there was a window.
Okay, but is that long enough to play the game?
And speed right through it.
No.
Well, obviously, no.
It never stopped raining at all. You think they're going to come back today and be like, guys, we see a 9-minute window in this 6 o'clock hour. Let's get this thing in. No, call it.
Right. But let's be completely honest here for a second. Did you need a night off from the Mets?
Oh, I could take the week off.
Right.
Yeah.
So that was one of the things that stems
from the rain.
Right. I knew when we left the show, they weren't going to play the game.
So if you knew, and I knew, and RJ knew, and Raymond knew, why did they attempt to play the game? Why?
Well, because there's 162 of these things.
I get it.
Detroit.
I get it.
And you're trying to fit it in.
They postponed the game last Thursday, right? Opening day.
Right.
Day before, awful forecast. I mean, it was miserable all day yesterday.
Well, it's also opening day.
I understand.
You and want all the to be pomp and circumstance that goes into opening
game. And you're right about that. But I have a little respect for the fan base. So if I'm a
why
huge
are you
going to
pretend
fan,
like now all of a sudden they truly care?
No,
about
they don't.
The
but you know what? I can fight for the fan a little bit. I mean, if you're a fan of the Mets and I heard people like, well, just you're stupid if you go. No, that's not right. If you love the Mets and you want to go to every single game, you should have the opportunity to go, and they should do the right thing and cancel the game yesterday afternoon so you don't have to make the trek out there. So now you got to go. You got to get there at 7 o'clock. You got to go into your seats. You got to sit in the pouring rain. And I don't think they canceled it till after 9 o'clock last night. So that's the whole day.
Well, I understand that, but it's going to rain today. So, I mean, it's supposed to be four games against Detroit.
I thought it was three.
It's four.
Four-game sets.
Yeah, they were supposed to play Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. So I saw yesterday that yesterday's game was, I guess, rescheduled for Thursday. So you could play a doubleheader on Thursday if
correct.
You end up losing, you know, Tuesday and one of the Tuesday or Wednesday games.
So you'll have to make up one of these.
Find a way.
Okay, but it's not like there's not days. You got the whole season.
I understand that, but you also don't want to give away a day off.
I get it.
It just becomes a bigger pain in the butt if you can't.
I'm not arguing that.
They're worried about the players first. So get that through your head. They're worried about the players first.
Okay.
They're worried about getting themselves first. And then,
well, okay, sitting here on 98.7 ESPN with you and Raymond and RJ can sit here and worry about the fans.
Right, I told you the story, I mean, a thousand times. We had a game where it was a blizzard, like a whiteout blizzard. You couldn't see anything. There was no chance. Like, if we had 1,000 people that would actually risk their lives to come to this game, maybe we had probably like 800 people that came to this game. And we all thought game was going to get canceled. There's no chance. Like, it's not safe to drive in this
right.
weather. You shouldn't go. We get phone calls. Hey, we're on a bit of a slide. Team's already in. We feel like we can beat them. You're playing. So we end up going there, which was dangerous for us to drive there anyway. We end up playing the game. No one's there. They're like, okay, hey, anyone that was brave enough to come to the game, feel free to sit wherever you want because there's seats all over the place.
Right.
And we end up playing the game. Owner came in and goes, hey, just so you guys know, it's cost me $250,000 to play this game.
Oh.
You better win.
Wow, wow, wow.
Good. It was good motivation. We won. But still, I mean, was it fair to have people driving that? No.
No.
Or that people that wanted to go to the game were hoping like, hey, let's not be stupid here. Let's reschedule this one because I got tickets for it.
Right.
No, they made
but
us
if you
play.
Had, if you had tickets to the Mets game yesterday and you thought they were going to play and maybe you go to one game a year or your buddy asked you to go, you try to go and you sit there for hours, you have a hot dog, you park, and you waste your whole night. And now you're all soaking wet.
Right. And then what ends up happening, too, if you're a player, I mean, you cancel it, you give me the day off at least. Now I'm sitting at the ballpark all day long.
Right. And that Gary Cohen had to sit there and throw it back and forth SNY. And he was none too happy about that.
How upset would he be at the person that didn't shut that camera off?
Well, but
he was sitting there.
The camera went on for so long. Like he finished his hit. They threw it back. He's still sitting there. He makes this reaction. And then they pan to a truck in the parking lot.
Turn the
camera off.
He sat in the same spot. Like, okay, when's this thing going to shut off? And just would not shut it. They would not. It would not.
It must
down.
Have been 5 seconds
it
after
like
he was
time.
done.
It was
speaking.
Like Tibbs last night. Like if you hear, like when we play this Tibbs cut,
yeah.
If you didn't see it on TV, you think we were like something was wrong with the cut. When he says Jalen gets fouled, he gets fouled. You're like if you just heard the clip,
it's on a loop. Something's wrong. Yeah, something's wrong. So we'll get into the next. By the way, big stuff today. Today's rules for Rothenberg. I mean, that's
we're trying that today.
No, I don't think
no.
so.
No, that has to happen the day before. I thought.
I did get quite a few emails.
Now, do you think you can put one together for today?
Can you? No, I don't want to force it. You guys don't like it. I don't think I want to do it.
No,
but I got an email yesterday. Can you guys explain the icing rule? Like, you know what? That's nice. But no, we won't do it. We'll never do it.
No, don't say we'll never do it.
We don't
have a big show meeting after the show. If you have a couple and you think you have the time during the breaks to get the answers together, we could debut it today.
I mean, I think we could do icing right on the fly. See what I did there?
I saw that.
Yeah.
I think we could do it.
Right.
A little test run.
But I don't. This is our show. This is a communal
I'm
show.
I'm saying I want to do it. Let's try it.
No, you guys were laughing at the rules by Rothenberg.
He was in my ear the entire time.
Uh-huh. So this is what he's like a Russian spy.
Right. He poisoned.
He's a plant by the Russians, and he's here, and now he's producing the show, but he's trying to manipulate it.
Yeah, I don't
best
know why would the Russians want to sabotage the show?
That's a great question. Why do they do a lot of things?
Maybe
they do.
You
why
answer
you,
that.
Why are you here?
Good morning.
Hi.
Why are you here? You want to give it? You want to give it a quick trip around the block?
You
like
want
a test
to go
drive?
To woods? Do you want to go for a drive? Bring overcoat. Bit nipply outside.
Hit us with some icing. What is icing?
No.
When do they call?
No, I don't know what it is. I don't understand the rule of icing.
No, come on. You know what it is. No, we're not doing that now. If we're gonna do it, we got to try it.
It's got to be an open. Like
no,
a big,
it doesn't
like
have to be an
music.
Open yet.
Dun, dun,
no.
dun, dun, dun,
you can
dun,
pick
dun,
your
dun,
music. You can pick your music, and if today goes well and people like it, RJ will throw it up on the poll. We'll try it. He'll throw it up on the poll, and if you get the appropriate amount of votes for the segment, then we'll get the imaging and stuff.
Okay. I will throw this out there. You guys agree or disagree. After you do the five-pack, if you want something explained or the origin of something, email in. You know how to do it. I get a million emails. Tweet in, right? Well, we'll take the best one, maybe two, and we'll try that right after the five-pack of Stump Rothenberg. If it goes well, if we finish it, we all agree, like, you know what? That was pretty nice. We do it on a weekly basis post-Stump Rothenberg with some imaging. Agree or disagree?
Agree.
You say whatever you want.
I vote yes.
I don't want this to be, you push me into this segment that I never wanted to do. RJ, you agree or you disagree?
Sure, let's give it a try.
Raymond?
Yeah, why not?
I mean, I've never felt less inspired.
At some point, we're going to have to debut it somewhere, and I think today's a good day. It's not nice out. It right. is a stump day. Today's Dave's day. It's like that one place. Where's that? There's that one city where they all the fast food, like the chain restaurants, they all go. They all like they try out all the things in like, a certain place. I don't know. There's this one place that has all the fast food places. We'll use that.
Very healthy city.
No, but today is the day.
Did you hear what Rebecca Lobo said about Albany? I mentioned and
nothing
it
to do in Albany.
Nothing to do. What is she looking to do?
I have no idea.
I mean,
a little nightlife, a little dinner.
You don't think there's restaurants?
I guess. Listen, I had a ton of success in Albany. I love playing in Albany.
I mean, Albany's a major. Right. We're out in Albany. There's
plenty. 77 saves in Albany. Had some big games against
77 saves.
The Albany River Rats.
That's a lot of saves.
Yeah, lost though.
So I'm watching the Knicks down the stretch. All you know, the tie game. They fall behind. They come back, and a very enticing game. By the time I turned on the Yankees. They're already in big trouble, massive trouble, down 3-0, almost more than that. Again, it's so early, you can't get crazy in either direction, but Nestor Cortez was not good last night.
No, again, early in the game. The same thing happened to him in his first start, and he ends up right in the ship. But when you're going up against Zach Allen, and you give him a 3-run lead, and you don't get to him early, I mean, you had Torres walk to start the game, Soto double play, Judge walks, and then Rizzo ends up grounded out, so you didn't get to him early. I mean, he had two singles in the second inning. He had three singles for the entire game. And the guys that got the singles are really the only guys that have hit for you so far this season anyway. Right? I mean, it's been Volpe, yep. Cabrera, and Soto. Outside of that, Judge has done nothing. And by the way, no one gets screwed.
Oh, you're going to talk about that low strike?
But it's all Judge. The time, man. It's all the mid-shin strike.
He's so tall that it makes it tough.
I understand that, but there are tall guys. I mean, Stanton's pretty tall.
Can I say something?
And he's also, I mean, one of the faces of baseball. Can we not give him the benefit of the doubt at that point?
Yeah. No, listen, I agree with you. And he rarely, if ever, complains. Right,
at a certain
Judge?
Point, though, it's like, come on, man, especially because he's struggling. He's like, now this is what we're doing?
But it was a low pitch, and then you know, you saw the pitch tracker. Like, I saw it on Twitter. I saw it on the game. Like, yeah, it was a low pitch. It should have been ball four. But that's not the reason the Yankees lost, right?
No, I'm not. Listen, I'm not saying that. The reason they lost was because they didn't hit. They didn't hit. And right now, Stanton's not hitting. Verdugo's not hitting. Rizzo's not hitting. Judge is not hitting. And that's just got to figure it out. Like, you can't fall behind like that.
And quickly, because he didn't have a good year last year. And I know what, and again, I think you have to be fair here. And I don't like the Yankees, and everyone knows that, and that's fine. But I'm fair, and I wax poetic about how great they were over the first five games of the season. The bullpen sensational. So don't say I'm not fair. Okay, people are going to look today and be like, yeah, after that first inning struggle, he was really
good. Yeah, but I gave him the benefit of the doubt in the first game.
I mean, did he respond after? Yeah, but the game was, for all intents and purposes, over because you're going up against an absolute stud on the other side, Zach Gallen. So, yeah, did he bounce back in innings 2 through 5? Sure. And you look at his total line, 5 innings, 8 hits, 2 walks, which is not great, 3 runs, fine, all earned. But you can't sit here and tell me he was good last night. He was not good.
No, well, I mean, just in when he let up the runs, right? I mean, I gave him the benefit of the doubt against Houston. Right, it's a game he's not supposed to start. They were going to actually have Stroman start. He said, "No, I'd rather stick to my routine because we all get it. He wants to pitch the home opener at Yankee Stadium, but with Gerrit Cole out, I mean, everyone is going to be asked to step up. So I gave him it because it was start one. But coming into this game, knowing it was going to be a tough matchup, a good test for your team going up against Zach Allen. I mean, to give a pitcher like that a 3-run lead right off the bat.
Yeah, you're in big trouble. So you know, it's funny you mentioned the three guys had the hits and the other guys didn't. It's amazing the Yankees are 5-1. Glaber's not hitting. He's hitting 174. Judge is not hitting. He's hitting 125. Rizzo, 182. Stanton, 150. Verdugo, 143. And Trevino, 111. So you have the bulk of your lineup is not hitting, and you're still sitting here at 5-1 if you're the Yankees.
Right, because the bullpen's been lights out. Anthony Volpe's been great.
And you've had tremendous timely
Cabrera
hitting.
Had an unbelievable first series. You played some good defense, right? You had that, I mean, some big defensive plays. Yeah, but they're going to... See, that's the thing, though, and we kind of talked about this with the Mets. And now, listen, Mets aren't in the same class as the Yankees right now. But, like, there are guys that you expect are going to hit. Aaron Judge, at some point, is going to hit.
Yes.
Rizzo, I mean, had an unbelievable start to his season until he got the concussion. I would expect him to start hitting. Glaber, same thing. Now, Stanton...
This is what I was going to say. He's a bad baseball player right now.
There are a lot of very, very ugly swings when you watch him play baseball.
It feels like, to me, correct me if you think I'm wrong, he's completely guessing. He has no idea what's going on, and occasionally he will guess properly and run into one and hit it 430 feet.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think... Right, the whole focus from this offseason was kind of getting himself in the kind of baseball shape that will allow him to actually stay healthy, where it's like he can actually, you know, do athletic things, like maybe run the bases, stuff like that.
Have you seen him try to run, though?
I know.
He can barely run.
No, he's breaking down. But, I mean, the way Aaron Boone describes it, if you guys listen to Aaron Boone talk postgame, is, you know, he has the opportunity to get his ace swing off. And if he doesn't connect or ends up following it off, then all of a sudden, you know, because he's a guess hitter, he ends up opening himself up to swinging at, and it's usually a slider,
yeah.
And he doesn't even look like he has any idea that it's coming, and he's nowhere close to hitting.
It's really, really bad. And I just wonder at what point, like, you're winning, Judge is going to be okay. We know that. We're not worried about him. Soto's raking, Volpe, the whole thing.
Well, no, you have the ability to do it. I mean, it becomes a liability. You let him try to get off to a good start. If he doesn't, I mean, especially
then what?
Eventually when Dominguez comes back, what do you mean, what?
You think they'll bench him?
You can.
We'll see.
I mean, you have options now. I mean, you could put Grisham in center, right?
You're paying him a whole heck of a lot of money.
Yeah, right. But you could have Soto DH. You could have Judge DH. You could have Verdugo playing left
field. Well, my point is, like, you're winning games, it's
but
fine.
But we both said this, though, right? At a certain point, like, the Yankees are all in, right? And there were some moves that could have been made to make sure, especially when Gerrit Cole went down. The one move that we talked about was before, you know, free agency even hit, was, like, if the Yankees want to prove to the fan base they're kind of going all in, like, get rid of Stanton. Make him go away.
Eat the contract, yeah. Well, they're not going to do that.
No, I know, but you're at a point now where, like, if he's a detriment to your lineup and he's not doing what you need him to do, and you have better options, then take advantage of the better options.
I agree with you. Now, from brakes to exhaust kits and beyond, eBay Motors has over 122 million parts to keep your ride or die alive. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to bring home that big win. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Yankees on the table. Taking advantage of the Mets fan on the table. And the Knicks. It didn't look good. They fought their way back. They did not win in the end. It's 3 in a row. Concern level got to be rising by the moment.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
I think they're listening to me.
They're everywhere, Dave.
I know you're here.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want.
Woohoo! Over here!
Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts. This is DiPietro and Rothenberg.
Finished the book yesterday.
You verbal
500
porn,
pages,
yeah.
3 days.
And?
Oh.
What a twist at the end.
Really?
What a twist. A sexual twist?
Another very serious sex scene.
Oh. Is that right?
I got two in the book, yeah.
Oh.
That's nice.
And they also have superpowers. Which
in the bedroom?
Even, oh, yeah.
I also have that.
No, not that kind of superpower. Yeah. Oh.
This is DiPietro and Rothenberg.
My pants are all wet.
On 98.7 ESPN.
So, you know, my knees are still wet, and like the lower third of my pants are wet, and my socks are wet.
Yeah. It was pouring, and you didn't have an umbrella.
Well, and not only was it pouring, it's supposed to pour all day long.
It's great.
At what point do the roads start to just take on water where it becomes unsafe to drive? It's been raining nonstop.
I don't know. I can't answer that question.
Because as I was driving in the West Side Highway, puddles all over.
Yeah.
And I'm figuring this continues for another 24 hours? That's not good. We're not built for like 48 consecutive hours.
It looks
hours
like there
of
could
rain.
Be a window, though, where the Mets could get this.
Like a 9-minute window?
Get this one in today.
Could you imagine how angry you would be if you showed up at Citi Field? Like you were bringing a buddy from out of town. It's like, well, we got to go because he's only going to be here for the one night. You go to the game, you sit there, and they never play
well,
that
you got to suck it up, according to Dan Grasso.
What do you mean?
You got to fight through the elements.
He said.
Well, this is what baseball is all about.
Is it, though?
No need for a retractable roof.
What is he talking about?
This was his worst take he's ever had doing the show.
No need for a retractable roof. How great would it be if you had a roof
you'd
at
solve
Citi
all
Field?
These problems.
Did you hear Did you watch the Yankees game? You must have watched either.
Oh.
Yeah, what was the Yankees game?
What was that? Was that Grasso moaning?
Pobrecito. Yeah. Oh.
How stupid is this? RJ, did you hear this?
About their roof?
They can only, so you did hear it, open and close the roof when there's no one in the building.
Listen, there's a lot of rules that come with the roof.
Yeah, but so if a storm passes by that's unexpected and you're in the third inning, you now can't play the game.
Yeah.
You can't close the roof and play the game.
Get the people out.
You'd have to have everyone leave.
Everyone out.
And the reason is, RJ, I don't know if you heard this last night, the reason is they're concerned about pieces falling off the roof and hitting somebody. If there's such a concern, then being serious, like, did they build the thing properly? If they can't open and close the thing when there are people in the building, did they build it appropriately in the first place?
I mean, I guess I see what they're getting at. Like, there's a liability if something, like, is perched on the roof and it falls. You don't want to
no,
take
but
the
I don't think they're worried
pieces
about
of
like,
the building.
They're not worried about
they're
it.
They're actually saying pieces of
the
roof.
Pieces
they're worried
of
about,
the building.
Like,
it's actually pieces of the roof.
Just, yeah.
You know, getting free and falling on somebody.
You know what they did? They probably made the mistake of hiring that same company that just built the A's new stadium in Vegas.
Oh, here we go.
They probably cut
and here we go. I had a good bit going. This was a good bit. You ruined my bit. Always do this.
I'll continue it for you. It's a good joke. But
No, forget it.
Well, but isn't it a rule in baseball with any team that has a retractable roof, they have to make a decision and stick with it? Like, I don't think any stadium you can close the roof, even if it's safe.
No, I don't think you're right.
I don't think
you
that's
have
limited.
To close it at the end of the inning.
I don't think that's limited to baseball either.
I don't think you're right. I think it has to be closed at the end of an inning. Like, you play two and a half innings.
I got an idea.
What?
I got an idea.
What? Rules by Rothenberg?
Yep.
I'm getting emails on it, too.
Yep, but that's one of the rules you clarify.
Yes.
Now, who's got to look these rules up?
You.
I do.
It's your segment.
You're the genius.
It's not ENN where someone else writes it for Peter. You got to do this yourself.
Oh, wow.
Taking shots at Peter.
Yeah. Or around the league, which RJ writes for you.
You don't have to tell everybody.
I'm telling everyone. Do it yourself. I write the open.
You write
Raymond
the open.
Writes the open.
That's right.
Right. So this is your segment. It's your idea. You want it. You love it.
It wasn't my idea.
Well, you're carrying it out, though.
Right.
So now I got to look up what are the rules for, what would I even Google?
Dome closing.
dome closing rules?
That's right. Well, in Arizona, too, don't they have the, what's it called, the humidor? Because of the pressure with the ball?
No, is it? That's Colorado. That's Colorado. They might have one in Arizona, too.
I think Arizona has one also.
They might.
What are the rules?
Why, don't look it up now.
Why?
Because we're going to sit here in silence.
I've got it from Major League Baseball.
Oh,
right,
let's hear it. No. Save it. Save it for the segment.
All right. So we'll save it.
And write it down for Dave.
But I have icing, somebody wants to know. I have explain the ground rule triple, somebody's email wants to know. And I have this one. So maybe we give this one and do the other two?
No, we wait.
We're going to do three?
Yes.
Yeah, nice three-pack.
Nice three-pack.
Arizona and Colorado, two teams with a humidor.
Really?
Yep.
That's nice.
So that, well, that's to your point, though. Maybe in building that, there were some oversights.
Steve, is that brick really, you know, ensconced there well?
Could that fall if we close it? I don't know.
It could.
Maybe.
So why don't we have no one in the building when we open and close the roof?
Should we try it? Namaste over here.
Yeah.
You can try it.
RJ, you want to use namaste in a sentence?
No, that's a one-time only.
It's his greatest line of all time.
Yeah, I'm going to leave really namaste in Oakland because I ain't got no stadium.
And it was so quick,
because I ain't got no stadium.
Good job, me. Did you see, maybe I should save this for a bleep you missed.
What?
Did you see who the A's are talking to, by the way, as in addition to Oakland?
Oh, I saw it.
On a possible lease, because the stadium's, in all seriousness, it won't be ready.
It will not be ready.
Sacramento.
The Sacramento A's.
Sactown.
How far is Sacramento from Oakland? Do we know that?
I'm sure we can find out.
Rick, have you seen this conspiracy theory with the A's?
No, I haven't seen it.
About players who've been let go or demoted?
No.
I'm going to talk to you during the break.
Okay, good.
I want you to look at this.
That's great. So tease it for everyone, and then I'll bring it up. Well, why can't you bring it up on air, Raymond?
Well, I don't know how valid it is. It's a conspiracy theory.
Yeah, right.
Conspiracy. All right, so let people know that this is a conspiracy theory heading into it. Now tell everyone you have that caveat
So some players on the team have been wearing a wristband, like, you know, like those rubber ones.
Oh, they think it's a tracking device on it?
No. So it's something like the last dive bar, baseball's last dive bar, referring to the stadium, and it like goes to a website. But apparently that website has been very big, like sell the team vibes on the A's. And so like the players who've been wearing these wristbands, apparently they've either been released or demoted.
Oh, because they support.
Oh, I get it.
But again, it's a conspiracy theory. I don't know how valid that is.
Steve Z emails in, I'm an engineer in the area. Former coworker worked on the Falcon Stadium. Some of the bolts rip off every time it gets moved.
That stadium's gorgeous, too.
Amazing. Is that the one that birds just fly into to their death?
No,
that might be Minnesota.
No, it's Minnesota.
That's a bird death trap.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, you can just be in the stadium taking the escalator up and you hear, like, thump, thump.
I've had that at the house. Burr, right into the window.
Why?
Because they can't see.
Isn't that what happened to the owl? Here in New York City?
I don't know.
You don't know that owl?
I don't know the owl story, no.
Tell us about the owl.
I got to look it up exactly. But there was a very famous owl that was in like the Central Park Zoo, and it got free, and rather than going to get it, it was just like the lead story on the news for weeks. They decided, you know what, we're just going to let it be free because it stays local, and I guess it flew into a window
and
died.
They killed it.
Well, no, he killed himself, actually.
They gave it a death sentence.
No, Ray.
This is uplifting.
How do we get here to the owl?
Because we go everywhere. That's how. I got to look this up. This is a famous story.
Yeah, I never heard that story.
By the way, we can't.
Flacco.
That was his name.
Flacco the owl?
Yes.
Named after Joe Flacco?
Yeah. No, only one C, F-L-A-C-O.
Oh, okay. Wow.
Yeah.
We can't overlook, by the way, that Rick's home is comparable to the stadium in which the Vikings play.
No, that's right.
Well, I must have had real scale, clean
windows. I must have had a real clean window.
What'd you pay for parking when you went to his home, RJ?
Natural light, eh?
Yeah, it's valet.
Is there just a guy there?
Yeah, they hit me with the charge on the way out.
Was
he
like, hello, RJ? Is the fob in the car?
Like the guy from the birdcage?
Yes. Hello.
Did they make any fall?
Are you here to see Master DiPietro?
You guys, I can't believe you guys. So I looked up Flacco the Owl, New York Times, The Guardian, AP News, Rolling Stone, CBC, AP News. Like, it was all over the place. NPR.
When did it happen?
February.
This year?
Yes.
This year. Wow.
Well, I had no idea.
Yeah.
I'm too busy
USA
watching
Today.
Pickleball.
NYC Parks. People in mourning right, in the New Yorker.
I don't care where it was.
He's got a Wikipedia page.
I don't care how many places it was. What happened to Flacco?
New York Post. I told you what happened to Flacco.
The Daily Bugle.
It's not Flacco. It's Flacco, you said.
Well, I don't know. I would imagine it's Flacco.
The Daily Bugle.
ABC News, Washington Post.
Peter Parker had pictures of
the National Audubon Society, The Guardian, Fox 5, Spectrum.
All right, but what happened to the owl flew into a window
and died
of what?
There's no more to the story.
I don't understand. That's what he's it. Looking. What
was
he's
was there a certain building?
What?
Did they investigate it?
Investigate what? He didn't do it on purpose.
He's not building up to anything, Rick.
Okay, so there was no
owl. Did you? You guys thought there was more?
Yes.
No. The owl was free, and there was a big thing. You got to get the owl back into the zoo, and then they thought, no, the owl seems so. Seems so happy out in the wild, in like the free of New York City. Let's let him, you know, run rampant. And he was, he couldn't handle it, and he flew into a window.
Poor Flacco.
He was overwhelmed.
Poor Flacco.
Poor moment of silence.
No, we can't do that on the radio.
Just a quick one.
No.
For Flacco.
For 3 seconds.
Okay, ready?
RJ, ready? For 3 seconds, moment of silence. This is for Flacco. Flacco. 3, 2, 1. All right, let's go to Barry in Astoria. Barry, you're on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, what's going on, guys? How are you?
Hi, Barry.
So I wanted to talk about the Knicks. To be honest with you, I know this isn't going to be a popular take, but I'm of the idea that we should start to kind of rest some of these guys, start to not exactly stress trying to get the 3 seed or get the 2 seed, because, frankly, we're only a game and a half ahead of Indiana in the 6.
But, Barry, we played the audio in the 6 o'clock hour. Where Thibodeau answers that question exactly. He says, we cannot afford to rest, guys.
I don't know why he believes that.
Hey, Barry, you're only 2 games out of the play-in.
I mean, I hear that, but to be honest, looking at the schedule down the stretch here, some of these games are very, very easily winnable, even if we are playing a starting lineup that includes guys like Bogdan Bogdanovic, who needs to honestly find his stroke and find his stride here today. Just in general, Alec Burks included, like, if these guys don't get minutes, they're not going to be ready for anything.
Well, do you expect Alec Burks to be a big piece of the postseason rotation if you're healthy? I don't.
No, of course not. But at the same time, I'm not entirely sure we're going to be healthy. You heard what Josh Hart said the other day. They'll be pleasantly surprised if these guys come back.
Yeah, but it's the same thing. The same thing that Tibbs said, though. Josh Hart is repeating what the coaches are saying, which is you can't worry about when OG and Julius are coming back. They're not with us now. This is who we have. We got to go out there and try to win basketball games.
I got a very mean email.
About me?
No. Did you have a childhood friend named Steve? That's the name you constantly go to when making up random scenarios. Switch it up a bit, fatty. What? That's from Tyler. What? What?
This is John Winthrop's fault.
What do you mean?
Our boss. Because he writes these promos, and he always mentions something about your figure.
Right.
Like he thinks that shapely. What does shapely mean?
Fat.
Yeah, but it wasn't mean that you were in good shape. It wasn't like the chiseled Dave Rothenberg.
Right.
It was meant to take a shot, which is fine. Portly or plump. But
not,
he said
not for long. Not.
No, I guess not.
You should have seen dinner last night. Turkey slices with a little bit of coleslaw. Like, so I made like a little wrap.
That's good.
Yeah.
Turkey roll up.
Had some snow peas, some snap peas.
Okay.
Right. Cup of tea.
It feels a little disjointed.
What do you mean?
It doesn't feel like there was a real plan going in.
No, it's like, hey, we got that, we got that, we got that. We'll take it out, do the best I can.
Yeah, for dinner, turkey roll-ups and some snap peas.
Yeah. And then I had some baby tomatoes, too. What?
There are so many things that you could eat and satiate yourself.
I was fine.
I know, but you put together like this fakakta diet. Like, I mean, there's so many things you could
do. I met a friend for lunch yesterday.
Okay, what?
I had steamed chicken and broccoli.
That's good.
Yeah.
Why don't you do me a favor?
Okay.
Why don't you go see a nutritionist?
I don't need a nutritionist.
Yes, you do. And get him or her to put you on a plan. Like, tell her, this is what I need. This is what I'm trying to reduce.
And I'm trying to reduce fat.
Yeah, fat, but all the others, I mean, the cholesterol, whatever it is.
That's right.
And then they'll put you on a like, well-thought-out diet.
I didn't tell you this. Can you guys listen? I don't even think RJ's paying any attention.
I'm listening. I was actually just going to say that I agree with Rick. I think we need to get you on something steady because you're...
I'm on steady.
No,
I had two hard-boiled eggs on the way in.
That's not good.
I saw my cardiologist and he scared me straight the other day.
No, but it's steady.
Then he called yesterday. My triglycerides are high and my sugar's also high.
You don't even know what those are.
It's bad cholesterol, triglycerides.
But you go from not eating to... like 3 stacks of pancakes at Flapjack Pete's. Like, there's got to be somewhere in the middle.
I gotta really get with it.
Yeah, but you're
a
roller coaster. It's got to be your lifestyle. Maybe you see the nutritionist.
This is my new lifestyle.
Yeah, but they put you on this diet, and you actually like the diet, so you
not
don't
really much of a lifestyle.
I love what I'm doing now.
No, you don't.
I love it.
You can't love this.
What do you mean?
No, you cannot love eating turkey rolls and snap peas for dinner.
You know what I love? I love the challenge too. I love it
of not eating.
It's me against my body. I'm
starving
fighting. I'm going to when I go back in. I have to go back in 6 weeks to the cardiologist. And he said, I need your blood pressure down.
But my point is, you shouldn't need fun challenges. Like, it shouldn't be like, hey, I got a bar mitzvah. I want to lose 25 pounds.
Right.
Or now I have my high triglycerides.
Right.
And I'm going to challenge myself.
Right.
Just make it your lifestyle.
Right. You're right.
What you do to yourself is not sustainable in life.
You could be right.
Right. I know I'm right.
Right.
So now you get a diet that you actually can stick to for good. So we don't have these problems.
Yeah.
So we get to 205 Dave,
but,
and it stays 205 Dave. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, but rather than, I mean, you would take this over donuts.
Right, but I'm saying, like, you could also have a person that's smart enough that knows how to do these things.
Right, but let me get down to where I want to get to weight-wise.
But that person can get you down there the healthy way.
But let me get down to where I want to get to weight-wise, and then I can find a happy medium of every meal is not this, but every meal is also not turkey slices right, with a little coleslaw mixed in.
But I still think you need somebody to do it for you.
But I've done it on my own in the past.
The best shape I was ever in, I hired a nutritionist,
right.
And they put me on a strict diet that was still, it was enjoyable to eat, but every calorie was counted. So I didn't have to worry about it. Like, you're not even like, the coleslaw could end up having more calories than something more delicious that you could eat.
I guess it's possible.
Right, like you could be eating more foods that make you feel full and healthier than starving yourself with what you're doing.
I'm doing
eating
great.
The same calories, maybe.
Yeah, I'm doing really well. Like, yeah. I'm eating. I had multiple meals yesterday. I'm just no carbs, none. All proteins and vegetables and fruits, low sugared fruits. That's it. That's great. When I did it in the past, I was not eating.
I got down to 3% body fat.
That's good.
And I didn't stop eating carbs. I ate rice. I ate sweet potatoes. All that. Oatmeal.
I like sweet potatoes. Those are very nice.
All those things.
And I love oatmeal. Was it Grasso told you he hates oatmeal?
Hates oatmeal. Despises it.
Oh,
made fun of me the entire show.
Why? For liking oatmeal?
I don't know.
All right. Let's break. By the way, I get a tweet from Lucky Lou. He says they did an autopsy on the owl. It was believed he ate rats that had eaten rat poison. And Flacco was delirious and then crashed into the building.
This is not well thought out by the zookeepers.
It said he had a viral infection.
Yeah, well, how can the zookeepers think that he just let him be free in New York City?
Yeah, they thought it was a great idea.
It's a terrible idea.
Well, their lodges. Oh,
do you want to be free in New York City?
There's plenty of rats and pigeons around.
The same thing would probably happen to me.
And that's what killed them.
You would open the papers, and all the papers would say, like, sports radio host ran into New York City building and didn't make it.
They let Dave Rothenberg free to his own devices.
Free Dave wasn't allowed to eat carbs, so he ate rats.
Yeah, you need to keep me in the zoo, is what you need to do.
And unfortunately, the rat poison caused him to crash into a building.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Looking for more access to the show?
Why? Because you know why.
Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
Before we got off into the world of farting, we were going to get into Field Yates' new ESPN.
No, don't say it like that.
What?
We're cross-promoting.
The McAfee Show?
Right. We're cross-promoting.
Yeah.
That's what we're doing.
McAfee Show had some flatulence. And, listen, we are
we talked about the LSU-Iowa game, the day of the game.
Right.
And then we had people call the next day. They said we would never watch college women's
except
college
for
basketball.
You guys. You let us to watch it.
So we're a part of that 12.3.
Absolutely. I think we probably brought 12 million people to the table to watch that game.
The .3, maybe the 300.
Maybe so. Anyhow, Field Yates has a new mock draft, and this is just not one round. He does two rounds. 2024 NFL mock draft of rounds 1 and 2, that's 64 selections. Full picks are below. No, this doesn't matter. All right. So Field projects four trades here, including two in the second round, and those are going to be highlighted. Vikings send the, this is the first round one, Vikings send the Chargers, and this seems like kind of a, almost a no-brainer. Picks 11 and 23, plus a 2025 first rounder. That's a lot. You don't think so? To move up to number five to take a quarterback. I'll tell you who that quarterback is in a moment. Niners send the Cowboys 31 and a third rounder for 24. Titans send the Panthers 38 and a pair of fourth rounders for 33. And then the Raiders Commanders, somewhat of an irrelevant trade. All right, you ready?
I'm ready.
Pick one to the Bears, Caleb Williams, quarterback from USC.
Yeah, no surprise there.
Two to the Commanders. Now, I've seen, I think the odds on all the sports books are almost fifth, like maybe slightly shaded towards Jaden Daniels going to, but it's not big. Like, it's Daniels is minus 140, Drake May, like, even money or plus 110 of who's going to go two. So, it's very close. But on Fields' mock draft, he has the Commanders taking Jaden Daniels from LSU second. New England third, they would go Drake May. Arizona fourth would go Marvin Harrison. Vikings fifth would go J.J. McCarthy, which leaves the Giants kind of out of the quarterback race there. And they would take who Mel was waxing poetic with us about Monday. Malik Nabers would go sixth to the Giants from LSU. Continuing along in round one.
You know
one,
what's amazing, though, quickly? To
yeah, go
you,
ahead.
How, so we had Mel on, right? And you asked Mel certain questions. Like, you asked him the Daniel Jones question. He's hell-bent. You should keep Daniel Jones.
Right.
And then we have Field, and we're going to talk about the rest of these picks. And then, like, Mike Tannenbaum. So he has him going four. I would think, like, as he's going through this, as Field's going through this mock draft in his mind, he's saying to himself, you know, is there, and he's pretty dialed in,
mm-hmm.
if I could get to four rather than sit, like, why not go from, you know, 11 to four as opposed to five? Like, four guarantees me I'm getting the quarterback. Like, no one can jump over.
Right.
But Field must be saying to himself, no, Arizona loves Marvin Harrison. Tannenbaum had Marvin Harrison going ninth to the Bears.
Right. Now, if you're the Giants, can you move up from six to four? So I guess in that situation, then the Chargers would take Harrison. Like, I'm wondering, can the if the Giants love a quarterback, can they even move up to four with Arizona? Arizona drops to six and still wins with Harrison if he's the one that they desperately love. I guess you can't guarantee that,
chance.
Right?
Right. You know, you're not going to get. You might not get.
You're going to get Harrison. Or
Neighbors or Dunsay.
That's clear. So I wonder if that, you know, if Arizona gets, I mean, what do you think the Giants would have to give to get up to four?
I would say probably six, and then
next year's one.
Ugh. What do you mean? Ugh.
That's, I mean, what do you mean?
You say ugh, and then you also say, when we hear Brandon Bean say, does it really matter?
No,
I
agree with that.
I'm gonna get fired.
I say ugh because if you would have lost the game to the Packers and lost the game to New England, I wouldn't have to give up next year's one to move up to four.
Winning was important for them.
Very important. So Neighbors six. He has the Titans at seven taking Joe Alt. Eight, the Falcons taking Dallas Turner, edge from Alabama. Ninth, the Bears taking Rome Odunze, wide receiver that Mel also loves from Washington. And your Jets. And number 10, taking tight end extraordinaire Brock Bowers. You were so in on Bowers, and now you want the offensive
lineman.
No,
don't say that. I think Brock Bowers is great. I've watched a lot of Brock Bowers, and the versatility, the things you can do with him, I think is would allow a competent offensive coordinator the ability to do some things that with a regular tight end you can't do. Right? I mean, we had someone come on the show and said that, or someone told us that if Georgia could have used him as their running back, he was that good.
Right.
Like, so the things you could do with him, I said there will be the temptation at 10 if he's sitting there to take him. But the more I've kind of sat back and thought about it, with all the question marks on the offensive line,
I think that's the safer play.
And you only
I would
have
agree.
One, at that point, you have one offensive lineman off the board. So now you have your choice of the rest. I guess you could trade back, which it sounds like they'd consider. I just don't know who's trading up at that point. If all the quarterbacks are gone, unless there's someone behind Denver that loves Bo Nix or Michael Penix.
So he has Denver taking Bo Nix at number 12, right? Which is what we discussed. You think all five go in the first round? I do. Field does not. Field has the Raiders nabbing with a trade. Michael Penix at 36. So then you'd have Gardner Minshew is kind of your ensconced starter, battling it out with Aiden O'Connell. And then Michael Penix would be waiting in the wings.
Well, I guess
that would case.
I guess it would have to happen where you have the four go, and then one of the teams behind you, like the Raiders, really likes Bo Nix and wants to get ahead of Denver.
You know what I heard, which should be a terrifying thought for the entire AFC, that there's a chance that Bowers drops to 18 and the Bengals. You better hope that's not the case.
Yeah, trust me.
You better hope to God that's not the case. Can you imagine if Joe Burrow then added in Brock Bowers to throw the football to?
Bowers chasing Higgins?
Ooh. Oh, my goodness. You think Higgins is going to stay there?
I think they probably want to keep him for this year.
Yeah. So, like I mentioned, Penix, if Nix goes 12, I cannot, maybe I'm wrong, and we'll find out in a couple weeks, I think 3 weeks from tomorrow, that Penix lasts to 36. I think one team looks at him and says, he's a great in the pocket quarterback. We need to make a move for this guy.
But which teams outside of, if Denver's taking Bo Nix, the other team that you would
be. Do
the
Giants like him and want to move back into the first round if they take the wide receiver at six?
You're talking about the Raiders at 36. So what are you saying? Get up at, to 35?
Well, if you like them. Like, we talk about, trading next year's one to move up to four to grab somebody. If you really like Penix, if you like him, move back into the first round and take him. And now, at least, you have your quarterback of the future to be groomed behind Daniel Jones. And now you still have a stud receiver to go along with him.
Right, we also have a team it feels like is probably more desperate than you to get the quarterback. So he has going to the Raiders.
And in trading that original first-round pick, your own second-round pick, it makes it harder to move back into that first round. If you didn't make the trade for Brian Burns, maybe you would have been able to do that. But and then in round two, and I don't know much about this kid, so we're not going to spend a ton of time on it, Field has the Giants taking Max Melton, quarterback from
corner
from Rutgers. Mm-hmm. So we'll see how it plays out, but we this is not months away anymore. We are now right around the corner from the NFL draft.
All these receivers going too, man. I mean, you got Keon Coleman going at 40. You got Ladd McConkey going at 46. Roman Wilson going at 51.
Well, you've heard. I mean, this is an elite quarterback.
I like McConkey.
Wide receiver draft.
I like McConkey.
Yeah? He's your guy?
Yeah. Well, there was some thought, too, that I looked at a lot of Jets stuff.
Well, you're not going to get him.
No. We don't have a second-round pick unless we trade back. That there was some hope that maybe Ricky Pearsall would be around in the third round, and he's got him going in the second.
How many receivers does Field have going in the first two rounds?
Well, he's got the three up top. He's got Brian Thomas going 18. That's another one. Brian Thomas going to the Bengals.
14 receivers, 10 offensive tackles taken in the first two rounds.
Yeah, but I asked Mel that question. I said tackle and receiver. He's like, definitely receiver, but I don't know about tackle. I was like,
well, Field seems to think
in the first, the first two rounds
that's
seems like
crazy.
A lot. Well, just think about it now, though.
Eight offensive tackles in round one.
If you're a kid right now and you see how running backs in the NFL are being treated, you want to be a receiver or a running back?
A receiver.
Of course.
I don't want to be a running back.
No.
Does he have a running back going in the first two rounds? I mean, you talk about the devaluing of the running back. I mean, you'd have to look to see when's the first running back even go in this mock draft? I'm just looking. So 32, no. 33, no. 34, no. Guard, quarterback, center, wide receiver, corner, wide receiver, linebacker.
No, he doesn't have a running back in the first two rounds.
He doesn't have a running back in the first two rounds.
No.
Oh, yeah, he does. 54, Trey Benson, running back out of Florida State.
Cleveland.
And then 56, Cowboys taking Jonathan Brooks. But, you have 14 wide receivers, you have two running backs, and the first running back would go 54th.
Yeah, it's wide receivers, it's tackles, it's edge rushers.
That's how you build your team. You need a quarterback. You have to have a quarterback, or otherwise you can't win. You have to have receivers, or you can't win. Right? Unless you're Kansas City, and then somehow you're able to do it with pedestrian.
Look what your GM is doing that Joe Douglas is running circles around, according to John Winthrop.
You don't agree with that, though, do you?
I don't think circles. I mean, it's different. There's more urgency for the Jets.
Well, these are two teams heading in different directions.
Right,
the Giants are slowly trying to build and build a foundation, and the Jets are trying to win everything now.
You just went through that. The amount of tackles, wide receivers, you keep going. Edge rushers, corners, and you look what the Giants have done. You move off from the running back, you move off from the safety.
Right.
You trade for the edge rusher and give him a ton of dough. You put long-term extension on Dexter Lawrence, inside pressure, your best defensive player, your left tackle.
Yep.
You drafted a corner who's going to be good.
And you're looking for the quarterback.
And now you're looking in the wide receiver.
Right. So we're going to break, and Rick doesn't even realize this yet. He has news which I think everybody is going to be interested in for one reason or another. You don't even know what it is, do you? Well, you know what? I'll share that with you if you don't remember it next, right here on 98.7 ESPN. All right, for the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people even safer. Call or click Grainger.com or just stop on by and say...
Woo-hoo! Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
I think they're listening to me.
They're everywhere, Dave.
I know you're here.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want.
Woohoo! Over here!
Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts. This is DiPietro and Rothenberg.
Right into the window.
Why?
Because they can't see.
Isn't that what happened to the owl here in New York City? Flocko the owl.
So the owl flew into a window.
And died.
Did they investigate it?
Investigate what? He couldn't handle it. He flew into a window.
Poor Flocko.
Moment of silence.
Quick.
Flocko. 3, 2, 1. All right, let's go to Barry in Astoria. Barry, you're on 98.7 ESPN.
This is DiPietro and Rothenberg.
I mean, we could do a little edible or smoke a little boobange.
On 98.7 ESPN.
Boy, how we get to some of the areas that we get to is somewhat remarkable. I thought it was official, because it doesn't make sense that he would post this without it being official. But let me set you up for it right now. You were scrolling Instagram and you saw a photo on Bronny's Instagrams with a photo of him in a Duke uniform, correct?
That's what I saw, yeah.
So
I don't see anything official anywhere when I'm
I don't see anything official either, but I know that he was very interested in going to Duke. I know originally there was thoughts that he could go to Duke. It feels like Bronny going to Duke, even if it's not official yet. Although it's weird that he would post a photo of himself in a Duke jersey without winding up going there. It feels like that will be the landing spot to me. And Duke, Kentucky, like that kind of notoriety and publicity. And I think LeBron would enjoy that. And I think it's good for recruiting purposes. Like it just kind of it adds up.
Well, I understand that, but he's also, LeBron also had the chance to watch him play at USC since they live in L.A.
Right, but I don't even think... I saw his final list. I don't even think a team out West was on that final list. It was all East Coast teams.
Yeah, well, this changes the plan for LeBron now, because there was still some thought that he would still... I mean, after going through the cardiac arrest and everything else, I mean, the fact that he's actually back on the court playing basketball is miraculous.
It's amazing. The thing is, and I'm not trying to be disrespectful.
But he wasn't ready to turn pro.
No, he's not. He's not very good in college.
No, he wasn't ready.
I mean, he averaged 5 points, 3 rebounds, and 2 assists in his freshman season. So here were the favorites to land Bronny: Duke, Ohio State, Xavier, and Rutgers. So we'll I guess it's not official yet, but we'll certainly keep an eye on it. And I think that's a big listen, because he's playing wise, it's pretty much he's irrelevant, right? Let's be honest about it. But what him going to whatever school he winds up at would be a big deal, just for notoriety alone.
Yeah, well, you also said that Duke's. I mean, the incoming class for Duke is unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
With Cooper Flagg, and then you said even, there's...
They have like four of the top 16 recruits in all of college basketball.
Listen, he wants to put himself in the best spot to have a really good sophomore season and then turn pro.
Right.
to keep the dream alive that he's going to get a chance to play with his dad.
So how old would, at that point, LeBron be? 41?
Yeah, and I was watching something yesterday with him, too, and he was just kind of, I don't know if it was just the mood he was in, but he's like, yeah, I'm almost done.
I saw that a couple days ago, right?
Yeah.
Where they start, and it's just like you can feel the kind of beginning of the end, I guess, with LeBron. Now, that being said, he's still unbelievable.
Yeah,
he scored like 40 points against the Nets the other night.
How he takes care of his body, longevity, the amount of...
It's amazing watching him play.
What did he compare himself to? It's like if you got a 2003 Escalade and you haven't changed the tires and it's 2024. Like, that's how his feet feel. Look, the amount of minutes he's played. He wants to play in the Olympics now. I mean, it just doesn't stop.
All right, so Lonnie in Harlem sent me a tweet. He said, Bronny is in the transfer portal right now. He's been posting pictures of himself in different schools' uniforms all over Instagram.
He's been teasing.
Yeah, so I guess he has one in
Ohio
State.
For some reason, it just popped up.
All right, I wouldn't be surprised, Duke, but we will certainly find out. So, Yankees lose last night, back in action.
Well, but Ohio State, though, his dad with Ohio State.
He's from there.
Yeah.
So you see the new head coach, right? Duquesne won that game against BYU, I guess, in the tournament. The head coach at Duquesne was LeBron's high school coach. I don't know if you knew that.
Because he sent them sneakers.
The guy that they just replaced, because he retired. It had been known he was going to retire at the end of this tournament run. The guy that he replaced him with, I forget his name, was LeBron's teammate at St. Vincent St. Mary's. Yeah, in Akron. So yeah, if you have any connection to LeBron, you're going to wind up doing well.
That is, of all the things that he's done, better than almost everyone, to go from where they're showing us high school games on ESPN, you know, self-proclaimed chosen one, chasing the ghost of Michael Jordan, to have the kind of career that he's had with the championships. With no missteps. But how he handled the whole, because this happens to, I mean, you want to read horror stories of athletes that go broke. And it usually ends up, I was one of the only ones that made it out. Felt like I had to give back. I have horror stories of buddies that this happens to where everyone's got their hand out, but a lot of these guys have people around them that are their closest friends that they end up with as their career goes along, and they end up paying for them for everything. And that's how they end up.
But what he's done, he's actually buoyed his friends and connections to do well on their own.
Exactly right.
It's unbelievable.
It's unbelievable what he's done.
I mean, he's opened up a charter school in Akron. I mean, the amount of money he's given back.
The most powerful agency, one of the most powerful agencies in the NFL, NBA.
It's really, he is, you talk about the golden goose.
Like, talk about like not just like taking care of your buddies, like empowering your buddies to take care of themselves.
But it's almost like a parent. Like your goal as a parent is to raise your children so that you can, when they're 18, kind of, you know, push them out on their own and have them succeed. That's what LeBron has done with these guys.
Right, but most guys just pay their buddies to be their buddies.
That's why he's such a mastermind of kind of developing this.
Like, just hang out with me and I'll pay you to hang out with me. It's like, no, you're not, I'm not going to pay you to hang out with me.
Right, but I'm going to help you become the best version of
that's
you.
That's going to help us in the long run.
I got to tell you, man, to be in the spotlight from 17 to 40... And the biggest misstep you can say he's ever made is that, and for charity, by the way, had his announcement at the Boys and Girls Club of Greenwich. Good for him.
And on top of that, you know he's going to end up owning the team in Vegas.
Well, he's worth over $1 billion. Of course, that's his plan in place. So, speaking of the NBA, I don't know where you fall in on this. I don't want to say I'm worried, but I certainly don't feel as great as I did about the Knicks as I did, say, 5 days ago, right? It was only last Friday that we sat here doing the show discussing, like, is this going to be the 2 seed in the East? Is this going to be the 3 seed in the East? I don't really envision worse than the 3. Well, now you're the 5. Philadelphia gets back Embiid. They're the 8. Miami might be better than you anyway. They're the 7. They beat you last night. I don't know. I mean, again, it feels like such an emotional roller coaster with the Knicks right now. Because you don't know who's coming back. You don't know when they're coming back. You don't know if you're going to win these games. You're going to blow these games or move up to the 3 or the 2 or have Boston or not have Boston. Like, these final 7 games of the season have huge meaning for this team.
I think it would definitely change how you felt if you knew for certain that OG and Julius were coming back. right? I think if you knew that for certain, you would say, yeah, I would like to win as many of these games as possible, but I like our chances because when this team is healthy, you saw what they're capable of doing. Even just getting OG back. Well, I mean, what this team is with OG, record-wise. But you don't. There's some questions as to whether or not I think they're coming back, but that's just me. And there are some other people that have concerns. Right now, when you look at where they're at and how jumbled up this thing is, man, I mean, this is all it takes. You're on that good run. You're taking care of business. And right. All of a sudden, you drop a game against San Antonio that you should have won.
But it's so fickle.
And then you play two good teams, and you play an OKC team you should have won against, but SGA hits the big, right. big shot late. And then a Miami team that's now rounding into playoff form. And Terry Rozier goes nuts.
But it's that fine of a, you know, you lose this game. The San Antonio's a bad loss, and I know you don't think it's as bad as I do, but that loss against Oklahoma City is good bad. They're a good team, but you led by 10 points going into the fourth quarter.
I understand
quarter.
That.
And you're home. And SGA wasn't feeling right. Like, he was questionable for the game heading into that game. So something's clearly not right
with him.
I know,
but
that's
a good team. Giddy had
I get it.
Josh Giddy had a great
fourth
quarter.
But San Antonio stinks.
Jalen Williams.
San Antonio stinks.
Outside of Victor Wembanyama, let's say, I mean, that's the youngest team in the league. I think that's the youngest team that Pop's ever coached.
He went for 40 and 20. You had a guy go for 61 and a guy go for 40 and 20 in the same game.
Yeah, I don't know how. Just watching him play, man. I mean, how he's able at that size.
Well, he's so coordinated. Like, that's what I mean. Typically, when a guy's that big, he can be clumsy and awkward, but he's not it at all. Like, even you watch Edie, who's 7'4", and there's, like, very elbowy and kind of gangly and Chet Holmgren.
Wemby handles the ball like he's a guard. His handle is nasty.
His wingspan is like a hawk.
Great defensively.
So here we are, 44-31. So clearly, I think it's fair to say health more important than where you finish here.
No.
You don't think so?
Within the top six.
I tell you, you're going to have all your guys, but you're going to finish 7.
Well, you're still, I mean, listen, you finish 7, you feel like you're still going to get in.
But then you're going to have Milwaukee in round 1.
Right. No. Not necessarily. You got to win. I mean, 7 plays 8.
But I'm assuming you're going to get in, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, no, but there's a difference here. 7 plays 8, Embiid's back. You lose that game. Now you got to win one more.
One
now
game,
you're 8.
Or you're done.
Now you're 8.
But you're not that. Here's what's so
now
upsetting.
You're playing Boston in the first round.
It's not like you're 8. Like, you're 2 games in the loss column from being in the play-in. It's right there. As good as you've been with all these wins and the 2 seed or the 3 seed, and let's avoid Boston, it is right there to fall and be the 7 or the 8. Probably the 7.
Yeah, but that doesn't... You're missing the point, though. That doesn't matter if you're the 7 or the 8. All that means is your 7 is playing 8.
Right. No, I understand that.
And if you lose that game to a now healthy Philly team...
Now you're playing one game for your season.
Well, which I think you'll win, but that means now I'm playing Boston in the first round. 7 doesn't mean you finish 7. If 7 loses to 8, 8 finishes 7.
So 7 loses to 8, now 8 becomes the best you can do.
Yes.
Could you imagine that?
No, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
No, it matters. You got to be within the 6.
You got to go within the 6. So maybe the best spot
is 6.
Is 6.
With all you guys healthy?
All your guys healthy, Cleveland first round, you're winning that series, then I got Milwaukee.
As opposed to Boston.
And again, I don't think Milwaukee's any soft landing spot by any stretch, but it's easier than Boston.
Well, yeah, there's a reason why Boston is 12 games up on Milwaukee.
They're 59-16. They're 32-3 at home.
That's pretty good.
That's good, unbelievable. Right? All right, so right now, we'll go around the horn. Right now, Boston or the field in the Eastern Conference go to the NBA Finals.
Am Boston, I putting money on this?
Yeah, you got to put money on it. Not real money, but yes, you have to put money on it.
No, because you're going to yell at me because
I'm not going to yell at you.
I should take the field.
I would take the field.
Better money is the field.
So you're going to go with the field?
Yeah, because I'm going to stick to you.
All right. RJ, Boston or the field to go to the NBA final?
I really want to say Boston.
Okay. You could say Boston.
But I would take the field. I want to say Boston.
So say Boston.
All right, I'll take Boston.
It feels like you're being pressured into it.
I want to. They're so good at home, and this feels like they're aware of.
They have to win it this year.
Yeah, like everyone is aware of what's going on. But I just have some questions on Tatum when games get close.
Well, more on Jaylen. What Jaylen Brown?
Jaylen Brown is the one taking big shots for them, and I need the ball in Tatum's hands. But sometimes when the ball's in Tatum's hands, it doesn't go well. So until I see it, it's hard for me to de facto say Boston. Like the Bucks are champions. Like,
Yeah, Miami is no pushover. If Embiid is back, right?
Could you imagine Boston getting Philly in round one?
How good would that be? First of all, they don't like each other. There's a history there.
Great.
And now you're going to have Embiid back? And you very well might. Like, Philly currently is in the eighth spot.
You realize there's a potential road for Boston? Potentially. Like, we have to see how it plays out. For, like, if the Sixers dropped and they, the 7 seed would eventually play, or the 8 seed would play Boston, then you have to play, let's say, the Knicks. Then you have to play the Bucks.
Right. And then, like, Denver.
Oh,
Raymond, you go in Boston or the field here?
I told you months ago I didn't think Boston was coming out of the East.
And you stand by that?
And I stand by that.
So not only changed. Like would you take the field, you don't believe Boston gets to the NBA Finals.
For reasons RJ's mentioned, they're under so much pressure. They haven't faced any bit of adversity this year. They have a reputation for being that team that when the pressure isn't on them, they can't come through. I'm not taking them.
Okay.
I don't know who's going to knock them off. Somebody in the East is not.
All right, I got one more question. We'll get to stuff you missed. Western Conference, Denver, the field.
In that case, Denver.
Denver.
Yeah.
Really?
I mean, money would tell you to take the field.
Yes.
Right. Money would tell you to take the field.
But that's fine. I mean,
but I'm telling you right now, if Denver finishes with the one seed,
mm-hmm.
and you got to go through, I mean, for the entirety of the Western Conference.
Well, they are right now the one seed.
Right. By half a game, though.
Right, but Minnesota also doesn't have their second best player.
Yeah, OKC, though, too, sitting there half game behind them.
Right.
By the way, so point differential, right? Sometimes, I mean, I mentioned the Yankees, they're 5-1.
Right.
Not a great run differential, but right. Still they're finding ways. Boston is plus 11.5. The closest to that.
Plus 11.5.
Points.
Per game.
Differential.
Okay.
They average almost 121, and they give up just under 110. The next closest to that is Oklahoma City at 7.2. And they're 11.5.
Well, they have the best record in the NBA for a reason.
I mean, you want to talk about amount of pressure.
And they bludgeon teams,
right? To finish the season the right way.
So what do they have? They're 59-16. They've played 75. They have 7 games left. Are they going to win 64, 65 games?
Let's take a peek at their schedule here.
That's one of those, like,
We don't need their best when they play the Knicks. Like, they can
Or maybe if we're fighting for that 6th spot, maybe we do.
You know, we need that game. They don't. I'm saying they can rest their guys.
No, but I'm saying maybe we need them to play their guys if we want to drop to that 6th spot.
So they got the Thunder, Kings.
Oh, hang on. So Thunder, that's a good game. When's that?
That is today.
Well, that's nice. Is that a national game?
ESPN, 7:30.
Beautiful.
So they got the Thunder at home tonight. They have the Kings at home, Portland at home. Then they're at Milwaukee, Knicks home, Hornets home, Wizards home.
So it ends, I mean, Hornets home, Wizards home, those are wins.
Yeah, so that's 2.
That's nice.
Yeah.
That's nice. They're handing out food in the other studio, by the way, the control room.
That's a Brownshire brought candy.
Yeah.
That's Easter candy.
No.
Are those chocolate eggs?
No. It's the greatest piece of gum ever invented.
Well, that's gum?
Sour.
We can't chew gum.
No, I can't have it right now. I put it on a napkin. I'm going to have it after.
And Raymond, I'm about to shoot his.
Of course. So if we bring Ray on air right now, I'd be like, yeah.
Blowing bubbles.
You know me so well.
You have it in your mouth. Of course. You have no self-control whatsoever. You're like a high school boy. You have zero self-control.
Is it self-control or... actually, maybe it's just not.
He just doesn't care.
He gave you a piece of gum and immediately shoves it into
his
mouth.
He's Garden Raven? There's no way he's accepting the gum.
No.
He's working at the Garden in a suit jacket.
Because he's buttoned up. Because then Kenny Albert's there and Don LaGreca, and right? And I got to button up all the way.
Monica McNutt.
I think I get a little bit more respect at the Garden, so...
Wow. Do you have the same fun here that you have at the Garden?
I have fun at both.
You have as much fun at the Garden as you do here.
When the Knicks and Rangers are winning, it's fantastic.
You
loads of fun.
It's one of the most disrespectful things he's ever said to us.
No. Yeah. It's the most.
I'm hurt.
It's the most disrespectful. How dare you?
This is you.
Me?
Yeah, this is how you make him feel. I treat him with the utmost respect.
No, that's not true.
How dare you?
It's not true. RJ!
Yes, Dave.
How you doing?
I'm better now that I have a piece of this gum waiting for me.
just waiting.
I'll tell you what.
I can't have gum. Too much sugar. That sounds very sugary gum.
Sure you can. Because
you just ate half a pineapple. No, you can have one piece of gum.
Hey, Mike Brouncher. How much sugar is in this gum?
Sugar-free.
Sugar-free.
How's that possible?
It's magical.
You've never seen sugar-free gum?
There's chemicals and byproducts in that thing.
It's the best gum ever.
Carcinogens. I can't have stuff like that. I could die at any moment.
Stop. You're going to die from your triglycerides, not the sugar-free gum.
You only live once, Dave.
What'd you have for dinner? Turkey roll-ups and snap.
It wasn't turkey roll. I rolled
it. Turkey roll-up.
I rolled it.
By the time we get to the Mets game, this guy's going to be eating a leaf for dinner. A single leaf.
Well, if we can afford to have leaves at the pregame party.
The plural of leaf is not leafs. It's leaves.
Leaves.
Yeah.
I love how you're the plural police in the show.
Yeah, sorry. Right. You know, someone's got
to
be.
No, to Rices
be
fair, was right.
To be
Rices
fair.
Rices was correct.
To be fair, what's the hockey team in Toronto called?
The Leafs.
There you
but
go.
That's not who he was referring to.
Yes,
you know,
I was.
It doesn't matter what I say.
I was.
You are, just. You know, you're my Lex Luthor. That's what you are. Your goal is to just stick in my craw at every turn here.
You're the diabolical one here, not me.
Yeah, it turns out I've been right the entire time.
Meanwhile, you're Googling.
This was a mouse.
Meanwhile, you're Googling geniuses to compare yourself to. Who's more like Lex Luthor here?
He's bought into this. He's completely on board with it.
Yeah, that's right. Einstein.
He just told John about it.
John, guess what?
He's like, did Rick diagnose this?
I might have this affliction.
He's like, I think I might have it.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN New York app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.